Ari Rosenbaum here with another episode of the F1 Arcade Podcast. My favorite, one of my favorite topics we'll be discussing today, 401k plan provisions that are really bad ideas. Just really based on the practice of 22 years as an attorney, 9 years of which I worked for TPAs, and just some of the mistakes I see in terms of plan provisions that a lot of plans have. Not saying that these are not provisions that are disqualifying, but just these are provisions that I just think in terms of administration are just absolutely bad ideas. Before we get going to the episode, let's talk about some of the events that are coming on September 10th, 4 p.m. Eastern at 401k Virtual Bunch. We're going to have guest Ron Stair from Creative Plan Designs. It's a TPA firm here on Long Island. East Meadow. Ron is one of the funniest people you will meet. I will say he's probably one of the funniest owners of a TPA. That might be fighting words, but Ron has a really great sarcastic humor, and we'll explore that humor just in a couple weeks. And of course, that 401k Virtual Conference 6, you're already starting to run out of the number, forgetting about the numbers, but number 6 will be on Friday, September 25th. That will be at noon, goes on for two and a half hours, and then on Friday, October 23rd, we are going to have that 401k Virtual Conference number 7. And of course, that 401k National Virtual Conference, January 21 and 22. I believe there was an article in 401k Wire this week about the event. Maybe I'm jumping the gun, but I talked to my buddy Larry Davis, who books all my athlete appearances, and the guest for day one, it looks like, unless something goes haywire, will be New York Knicks legend and current Knicks broadcaster, Clyde Frazier, should be the guest. Clyde is, of course, a great player with the Knicks, two-time NBA champions. The Knicks have never won a championship. Had never won a championship without Walt Frazier on the team, along with David Buescher, Willis Reed, Bill Bradley, Dick Barnett, a whole bunch of other guys. Got Earl Pro Monroe on the second championship team in '73. Of course, Walt is an absolute delight when it comes to Knicks commentary. The last 20 years haven't exactly been entertaining if you were a Knicks fan, but his commentary certainly is. So Walt will be the guest. Hopefully Walt will wear something loud. I've met Walt a couple times, and he's always usually in a kind of a animal print type clothing, and he's one of the few guys who can get away with that look. So you can sign up today for that 401k National Virtual Conference. Go to that 401ksite.com. Early bird starts at $20.21. If you want an autograph from Clyde and the other guests on day two, you can do that as well. You want to be a VIP and get a t-shirt as well, we have that package as well. The deadline is Thanksgiving. So we hope that you can certainly attend. We have quite a few people already signed up. It's going to be a fun two-day event. So going back to 401k plan provisions that are bad ideas, I'm a big fan of product flops. Years ago I read a book about, when giants stumble, when businesses really make poor decisions. I like to know about TV flops and really some bad ideas from the get-go. Smith & Wesson Mountain Bikes can make the list. Lifesaver Soda, which I think at day one, that might not have been the worst idea, but Colgate kitchen entrees, where Colgate was serving frozen food, that's a pretty bad idea. I don't think toothpaste and frozen dinner should go together. Of course, there was Arch Deluxe, Cats the movie, which when you saw the trailer, you knew that was going to be a bomb. One of my favorite TV flops, Super Train, which almost derailed the NBC network because how costly it was. People don't remember Super Train. Lasted, I think, about 12 to 15 episodes. Super Train is Love Boat on a large double rail nuclear-powered train that traveled from L.A. to Chicago in record time, but had a disco floor, a pool, and some other stuff. It was just a ridiculous notion. And it's one of my favorite television flops, which of course around the same time as another noted famous television flop, Pink Lady, which is also known as Pink Lady and Jeff. Pink Lady were a very well-known Japanese singing group, two women. I was Akile and Akoko, I don't remember. But anyway, they didn't speak any English, and they had a variety show, and they had Jeff Altman as the comedian, and that lasted about 5 episodes. So really, based on my 22 years in the retirement plan industry, there are a number of plan features that I really think would land the plan sponsor in trouble, and they should be avoided. You know, we may agree to disagree because, you know, if you're a TPA, you're a financial advisor, you're a plan sponsor, you might have some of these provisions in your plans. Number one on my list that I absolutely hate, offering unlimited plan loans and loan repayments besides payroll. I like when plans only allow one loan outstanding. I don't mind if there's a ability for re-amortization. But in my opinion, being a plan sponsor, having a 401k plan doesn't mean that you should operate a check cashing place or a payday loan place. And when we've had 401k plans, years ago when I worked for TPA, we took on a new client and they had, you know, plan accounts, participant accounts with 7 loans outstanding. And I find that the problem with that is that with loan repayments, if you have multiple loans, it's bound to have the potential of screwing up loan repayments to the point where the plan participant would default on the loan because, you know, for about a quarter of the year, the TPA may forget to pay off the loan with the proceeds from payroll. You know, I think people forget that, you know, 401k plan loans are directed investment. It's a participant directed investment. And of course, it's got to be paid at least quarterly. You know, loan repayments, loan defaults, that's not something fun, especially because participants' money. You know, having a defaulted loan, you know, you have issues dealing with the 1099 and still the accruing the interest, and you don't have an offset until distribution. It's not something that I like, and I think that multiple plan loans adds just the whole extra elements into, you know, screwing up plan administration. And when it comes to plan administration, I follow the concept of keep it simple, stupid. Don't put in provisions that are going to be wheels, stick in the wheels of good administration. So I don't like multiple plan loans. I also don't like loan repayments other than payroll. Again, we're not running a check cashing place. We're not running a payday loan place. Taking it from payroll is a lot easier for accounting purposes, in my opinion, than accepting checks from participants and, you know, any other type of repayments. And like I said, I have too many issues over the years dealing with defaulted loans. Dealing with defaulted loans, they're only discovered years later. And to facilitate good, effective plan administration, I think that plan sponsors should have a limit of one loan outstanding at all times as a loan provision, because that would cut down on the potential for screwing things up. Next on my list, I absolutely hate it. The stated match provision. I believe that, you know, if we want to offer matching contributions in the plan, we just have a discretionary match, and then we can offer, a resolution or a notice explaining what the plan sponsors. Matching provision will be. I think that a stated match is a recipe for disaster in the sense that, you know, I've been in this business for 22 years, lived through quite a few really bad turns of the economic cycle, 2000, 2001, 2008. Plan sponsors, when times are tough, are going to cut back on the match. And by making it a stated match, there may be considerations that ties the plan sponsor's hands in order to kind of forcing their hand and making a match. That's why I think the discretionary provision is a lot easier, because it really doesn't tie the plan sponsor's hands in times of trouble. Why do I want to send the words to let it be? But anyway, I just think that the stated match is something that, why tie people's hands? One can't plan is in the sense that it's not a defined benefit plan or any other type of pension plan, is that there are provisions that give plan sponsors a way out. And discretionary match provision is one of them. Why tie a plan sponsor's hands if you don't have to? And again, what happens when, look, COVID happened in March, and it's still continuing to this day. If a plan sponsor had a stated match provision, they may have a tough time in getting out of it. Kind of like the safe harbor contribution in the days before you could cease and stop with notice. Too many times, you would see business falter, of course, one of the biggest problems is dealing with stated match provision that ties the plan sponsor's hands. Next on my list is what I call the match true-up. When talking about making a matching contribution, ordinarily you would have it based on if you're having a limit, you will base it on payroll period or an annual compensation limit. The problem is when you match one on one level and you look to the contributions on the other hand, basically in English, what really you have to understand about participants in salary deferrals is there are times in the plan year where participants will stop or cut back on deferrals or increase it. And when you have a stated match, when you're saying you're going to determine the limit on matching based on an annual period, what you're actually making the contributions on a payroll period, that's where you run into the problems where you actually have to do a match true-up to meet what your funding is of the matching contribution to the actual annual compensation or whatever compensation period that you're looking at and actually matching to. So again, the match true-up situation arises when the plan sponsor makes the matching contributions on a timely basis that contradicts the compensation limit they use in order to determine the match. So if a matching contribution limits matching on payroll compensation and the plan sponsor plan sponsor makes a contribution annually, the TPA may make an error in not making the contribution correctly based on the compensation limits set forth in the plan. And of course, the way to avoid that is really simple. The plan sponsor should avoid depositing the matching contributions on the same time basis. What I really mean is plan sponsor should always deposit the matching contribution on the same time basis they limit compensation for matching contribution purposes. In English, that means if a plan sponsor is using an annual compensation limit to determine the match, they should deposit the matching contributions annually. If it's by payroll period or by the quarter or whatever they do or the monthly compensation limit, that's when they should deposit it. That avoids just a lot of issues and a lot of problems. Next on my list, I've written so many articles about it, it's just my two cents. A self-directed brokerage account is one of the ideas I don't like. There's so many reasons behind why I don't like it. I used to joke years ago that when it came to participant-directed accounts, participant-directed brokerage accounts, the only companies that offered it were doctors, lawyers, and accountants. And it stopped becoming a joke because TPAs and advisors would always tell me that the clients that utilize this are doctors, lawyers, and accountants. I'm sure there are other businesses out there, but predominantly that's what I found. And the problem is that most plan participants don't really do as well with participant directed brokerage accounts as they do with using the core lineup that's offered in the plan. And of course, self-directed brokerage accounts may incur higher plan fees, because the plan advisor may not be getting a percentage of the assets in the self-directed brokerage accounts, so that may hurt the pricing structure of the plan. Same thing with the third-party administrator. One hidden liability that nobody really notices, but I do because I was a plan participant. Sometimes they only offer the self-directed brokerage account to the highly compensated employees. I worked at a law firm. That's the running joke I always talk about the disaster about 401k plan. They had self-directed brokerage accounts offered to partners in the plan. I was not offered that chance. And of course, that problem is, other people weren't offered as well. And you may have a problem with testing in terms of benefits, rights, and features. You can't discriminate against non-highly compensated employees. So any type of structure or feature or benefit or right can't be used. And so when you offer highly compensated participants the right to a SBDA, SDBA, self-directed brokerage account, you run the risk that you're going to violate this rule. In addition, I always think that, when you have dealing with plan participants that are reckless in terms of their investments, somebody who's using a double inverted Chinese ETF or some other, investments that are highly speculative, they can hold the plan sponsor liable. Because I don't believe that hold harmless agreements maybe work. When you are a plan sponsor, you are a plan fiduciary of all plan assets, regardless of whether they're under a self-directed brokerage account or not. And people are, reckless and stupid. And so therefore, I think that, a self-directed brokerage account is a hidden liability. I would say that a participant that sued a plan fiduciary of the losses that they sustained as a result of their bad investing still might have a cause of action against plan sponsor. I didn't know what I was doing. They're the plan fiduciary. They should review what I was doing. And most plan sponsors / fiduciaries don't really check what's going on in these self-directed brokerage accounts. In terms of liability, there's something called the dram shop rule, which means if I serve you alcohol in my bar and you're drunk and I don't cut you off and there's an accident, I may be held liable. That's the dram shop rule. Is there a dram shop rule for participants that lose money in these self-directed brokerage accounts? I don't know, but it's not something I'm willing to test out. So that's why, listen, my two cents, I'm highly opinionated. One of the reasons I'm kept out of the very big conferences, that's a joke, or is it? I think the self-directed brokerage account is a problem, and it's certainly an issue. Last but not least, I hate payments, plan distributions in forms other than lump sum and cash. I don't know why you'd want to have the trouble of making in-kind distributions. Cash is king. Keep it simple, stupid. Don't deal with rollovers of in-kind transfers. It's just a headache. It's more work. Your TPA, your advisor, your plan sponsor, nobody is being compensated extra by offering these options. It just increases the workload and increases the likelihood of a problem. Same thing with lump sums and installments. You know what? I like lump sums. I hate annuities. Pay people out. Let them take their money. Put it in an IRA. Say adios. Hasta la vista. Avida Zane. Whatever your language is. Participants terminate. Let them take the money. Let them go. They retired. They terminated because they left you. You fired them. Whatever it may be. So long. Farewell. Avida Zane. Goodbye. I mean, that's really it. You're not running, a check cashing place. You're not running a financial institution. their plant sponsor, pay these people out, let them go, on with their lives. I don't need to deal with installments and worry I didn't make the installment payment or worried I didn't make the annuity payment. Let them take the cash and leave. A lot of great institutions out there who sell rollovers, who sell annuities. Let them do that work. Let's not deal with that. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode of that 401k podcast. Again, that 401k virtual forum, Ron Stairs, September 10th. That 401k virtual conference 6, October 23rd. That 401k virtual conference 6 is on September 25th. October 7th is October 23rd. That 401k national virtual conference, January 21, 22, 2021. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.